you are on the line, live on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn, and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on FoxSports983.com and ESPNAU.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. Hour number one officially underway right here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. Hope you're all doing well on this Tuesday afternoon. It's another beautiful day here in Auburn and Opelika. Sun is shining, not a cloud in the sky, just like yesterday. It's hot outside, but it actually feels pretty good. I won't lie to you, folks. I think it feels pretty good. So hope you're all doing well. On this Tuesday afternoon, we've got a lot to talk about today. So if you want to call in, get involved, I would love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You could call in, be a part of the show. That's the number to put you through to me. I would love to hear from you. Anything you have to say about what's going on in the sports world, anything that we talk about here on today's show, call in, be a part, get involved. I would love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. That's the number to put you through to me. Give me a call. I would love to hear from you at any point throughout today's show. Hour number one is pretty busy. We've kind of got a stacked hour number one, so I will go ahead and admit it is kind of stacked today. Here in hour number one, we have two guests on the show, both of them here in the first hour, the 2 o'clock hour, here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line at 2:15. So the first segment's going to be a little shorter today, because at 2:15, we're going to have J.J. Jackson from Tiger Communications and also with the Auburn Sports Network. He does play-by-play for Auburn softball. We're going to have him on at 2:15. He's going to come on and talk about that Auburn softball team as they get ready for the SEC tournament this week. He's going to come on at 2:15, give us a little rundown of how the season ended for the Auburn softball team and then what to expect from this team in the SEC tournament and then after the SEC tournament as well. So that'll be at 2:15. So coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to have J.J. Jackson come on at 2:15, and then at 2:30, in his usual Tuesday 2:30 spot, we're going to have Zach Blackerby from Auburn Daily and Locked On Auburn. He'll be on at 2:30 to give us a complete rundown of everything going on with Auburn football and Auburn basketball, any updates, especially with everything going on. So he will be on at 2:30. That's Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn and Auburn Daily. He will be on at 2:30. So two guests in hour number one. That's the times that JJ was available. I wanted to bring him on so we could get some Auburn softball news because we haven't talked about him a whole lot, and they are starting up the SEC tournament this week. So wanted to have him on. He was available at 2:15 today, and I said, absolutely, man. Let's run it. Let's do it. So he's going to be on at 2:15, and then Zach Blackerby on at 2:30. So a stacked hour number one, and then the second hour is going to be all me. So great show on tap for you today. Again, if you want to call in, get involved, be a part of the show, I would love to hear from you. Anything on your mind in the sports world, anything you want to talk about and ask a question about, discuss with me, please do. I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. So to start today's show, if you haven't seen the news that came out yesterday, the NCAA Board of Directors, they're starting to go to work a little bit. The NCAA is starting to try to change and try to fix some of the things that they screwed up on when it comes to the NIL. And what I'm talking about is the NCAA Board of Directors made a new rule yesterday. They kind of updated a rule that was already in place. And what I'm talking about is the NCAA Board of Directors, they came together and they sort of, like I said, they sort of updated a rule. They issued NIL guidance, basically. Basically, they were trying to remove the fact in the process of boosters paying recruits to come to schools or paying transfer portal players to come to schools. And the rule just kind of updates the guidelines to what is allowed and what is not allowed. And the rule is saying that boosters cannot pay players to come to a school. And what that means is, you know, boosters and companies can sponsor kids once they are at a school, but the NCAA is trying to get out in front of when a high school senior is trying to consider between school A and school B. A booster can't come in from school B and say, hey, we're going to give you $1 million if you come here, plus whatever we sign you with an NIL deal, right? That's what they're trying to get out in front of. That's what they are trying to prevent. I think they're a little late, but they're at least trying. And that's kind of surprising to me. I'm surprised that they came at it this early, and I'm sort of surprised that they actually did something. I figured at this point they were just going to let it run and do its thing and just say, well, it's okay, we're just going to let it go. But they are trying at least, and I don't know how much this is really going to work because it's already happening. And they're trying to cut down on tampering. They're trying to cut down on just paying players millions and millions of dollars before they even get to a school. And again, it's a tough subject. It's a hard subject to talk about because what's the right answer? What's the correct way to do it? I don't know. There's so many different ways. I just don't know. And at the same time, you're dealing with 18 and 19-year-old kids that are being thrown millions and millions of dollars at the same time. So there's so many ways, and so again, we've talked about it so much. There's so many different angles to come at. And I want to pose the question to you again. What would you do? What would you change about the NIL? What limitations would you put on it? Would you put a cap on the amount of money a player can make? Would you put a cap of how much NIL money each program is allowed to receive? And what I mean by that is, you know, there would be a certain amount of money that Auburn players could make, and once it reached that, that was it. Would you do something like that? Would you let it just be fair game? Would you let it, you know, what would you do? There's so many different ways. What would you, the listener, do? Because I'm curious, and I said it yesterday, everybody that's called in has had a different viewpoint, and they've all made sense to me. They've all made perfect sense to me. And so I want to hear what you have to say. You've heard a lot of what I have to think and what I say, and I have my suggestions, but at the same time, I really don't know. And none of us really do, because what is the right answer? We don't know. That's going to take some time. But what do you think? I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Look, I would put some type of cap on it. I think you're going to have to. And I understand that players should be able to make as much money as they're worth. I feel that. I get that. Other jobs, you know, you don't have necessarily a cap. But at the same time, this isn't a job. This isn't a job. This is a college athlete. This is a college student. Remember? Student athlete. They're not working a professional job. That's not what this is. That's what it's becoming. That is 100% what it's becoming. But that's not what this is. These are college athletes. These are, sometimes when they're in high school, a senior 17 years old. When he's being reached out to by boosters from other schools, by colleges that say, hey, you know you want to come play at this school. Here's a check. This is what we're going to give you if you come play at this school. Like, what's a 17-year-old supposed to do with that, right? They are going to be over the moon about that. They are going to be overwhelmed by that. They are going to be excited about that because that's a lot of money. However much it is, they're paying them so much money. that they don't even know what to do with it. I wouldn't know what to do with $1 million if I was 17, 18 years old when I was coming out of high school. I would run to one of the first schools that offered me that type of money if I was that good at a sport like football or basketball. If I was that good, absolutely. I wasn't. But if I was in that situation, there's no doubt that I would run to the money. And who wouldn't at that age? And I think over time, that is what you're going to see. I've talked about it. It's going to happen. Kids are going to run to the money. They're not going to care about the game anymore. They're not going to care about getting better anymore. They're not going to care about trying to go pro anymore. Some of them will. Sure, some of them will. Because some of them are going to realize, I can make more money in the long run if I do it the right way. Some of them are still going to realize that. But I think over time, that thought process and that mindset is going to be, it's going to be less and less common. And so my suggestion would be, I think there's got to be some type of limitation on what either what they make or how many deals they make or a team limitation or something. But I don't know the exact answer. I don't know what that number would be because at the same time, I see the other side of it. I don't want a kid to have the opportunity to make so much, you know, an X amount of dollars, but say, well, you've hit your cap. Sorry, we can't sign you. Or he actually, you know, this athlete wants to work with a certain company, but he's already signed other deals to where he doesn't have the room to do so. But hey, here's the flip side to that. Maybe that teaches him a little bit of, you know, responsibility, and you have to weigh your options and consider what's best for you. Now, is that too much responsibility to put on an 18-year-old freshman in college trying to handle school and athletics and now handle an entire business side? Because that's what this is. It's a business side for these athletes. So that's just adding on a weight to their, you know, to their conscience and, you know, another portion of the plate for an 18-year-old who is a student athlete. They're in college. At school, also being an athlete, but now they're about to become student athlete entrepreneurs. I mean, that's what they are. They are college athletes are becoming student athlete entrepreneurs because they have to deal with school, they have to deal with sports, and now they have to deal with money, which obviously they're making good money and that's exciting, but you've got to think about the legal ramifications as well. Think about a contract. There's some fine print on that thing. There's some fine print somewhere in that contract. Do you think that college kid is going to read that? Some of them will, and I'm not talking bad about athletes, but when you're 17, 18, 19 years old, you don't know much about contracts. I didn't. I still don't, right? I'm young. A 17, 18, 19-year-old has probably never signed a legal contract like that. Maybe for a bank account. But they probably never signed an actual legal contract. And so, are they going to have the right people in their corner to help them out? Are they going to have the right advice to make sure they don't get screwed over? Because if you think that all of these companies are just going to be 100% trying to benefit the athlete, come on now. Let's think about this for a moment. There are companies, and this is just the world, that are going to try and take advantage of these athletes. There are companies that are going to do everything they can. They're going to try and get everything they can out of the athlete, but yet maybe not pay them what they're worth, or maybe use them more than what the athlete is willing to give up. But if they don't know that and they just sign the contract anyway, that's not a good thing either. And so that's a whole nother thing that the 18-year-old has to worry about. Student, athlete, entrepreneur. I like that. I'm sticking with that because I think that's what they are now. They are student, athlete, entrepreneurs. And that may be too much for a young college kid. It might be. That's a lot to deal with at that age. It really is. But what, you know, to kind of seal all this up before we head to the first break, the NCAA Board of Trustees, or the Board of Directors, excuse me, the Board of Directors, they kind of reissued a new rule, trying to get out in front of boosters, not reaching out to recruits and transfer portal kids to pay them money to get them to come to their certain school. Will it work? I don't know. We're going to find out. We're going to find out if it'll work. Let's take our first break of hour number one. When we come back, we're going to have J.J. Jackson on to talk about some Auburn softball here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. It was a shorter first segment, but we've got a busy hour number one, so we had to do so. But I'm excited. We've got a guest on the show now, J.J. Jackson from Tiger Communications and also with the Auburn Sports Network for Auburn Softball. J.J., how's it going?
Jacob, I'm doing very well. It's SEC Tournament Week. The Auburn softball program, so things are great. Out of the Gainesville right now for the tournament, and excited to come on the show with you.
Well, we appreciate your time, especially if you're in the car on the way to Gainesville. Hope you have a safe trip on your way. Let's talk about this Auburn softball team a little bit, because they wrapped up the regular season, and as you mentioned, they are in the SEC tournament, which is in Gainesville, Florida this year. At the end of the regular season, this team is 39-14 overall, 11-13 in conference play, and in their last SEC series, they got swept at Tennessee. What happened in that series in Knoxville?
Yeah, unfortunately, Jacob, it was the first series all season that you can really point to and say that the bats let you down offensively. Auburn had been playing so well throughout the season. This Auburn softball team had just 7 wins in conference a year ago, and so really improved here in this 2022 season compared to what they were last season. A lot of people want to talk about the offensive power for this team, which had been really impressive throughout the year. But really, for the first time in Knoxville, we just didn't see it come through. We saw low-scoring efforts from Auburn in all 3 games, and that just wasn't able to get the job done. Credit to Tennessee. That's a really good team. There was a stretch in one of the games on Saturday where the balls hit back-to-back-to-back home runs, so all credit to them. But for the first time, the offense really let Auburn down.
And J.J., the Friday night game in Knoxville got postponed due to weather, which made it a doubleheader on Saturday. What kind of effect on this team did it have that they had to play a doubleheader against a Tennessee squad who is pretty good?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just kind of changed your mindset going into the weekend. It's not too often that you see those doubleheaders in conference play. Auburn did see one a little bit earlier in the season in their Texas A&M series at home. But at this portion of the season, softball is a sport where you play so many doubleheaders early in the season. I don't know necessarily that you could point to that as being one of the biggest reasons for the miscues that Auburn had. You really just got to go to the offense. And then not to mention, you look at the Sunday game of the series, there was a stretch where Auburn had 16 consecutive batters retired. So, I mean, look, every way you look at it, the offense was just a big disappointment for Auburn softball this past weekend.
Talking to J.J. Jackson of Tiger Communications and also with the Auburn Sports Network for Auburn softball as he's on the road to Gainesville, Florida for the SEC tournament for SEC softball. J.J., this Auburn softball team is extremely young. That's definitely been the highlight of this team, is that how young they are. How impressed are you with what they've done this season with all of the youth they have on this team?
Yeah, I mean, you can't overstate how impressive it's been just from the young players on this Auburn softball team. I mentioned kind of the struggles that the Tigers had a year ago in 2021. Look, what I keep going back to, and I mentioned this a good bit with my broadcast partner, Britt Bowen, throughout the season, this Auburn team, their slugging percentage a year ago was worse than every other offense's on base percentage. That is a stat that will never be repeated in SEC softball. It's a statistical anomaly that Auburn was able to get to a regional a season ago. So the fact that they've taken steps forward this year to being one of the top 5 offenses in the conference, the best conference in softball in the country, is so impressive, and in large portion to the Auburn freshmen that have come in. 40 home runs combined from the Tigers freshmen out of 84. That ranks 4th in the SEC in that number. It's been a very powerful offense, and the majority of the production has been done by the young players on the team. It's a really, really bright future for this Auburn program when you look at the offense.
And, J.J., now that the regular season is over, you know, kind of just give us a highlight or two from the season overall that has you thinking positive as you head to the SEC tournament.
I mean, I think there are a lot of things to look at from this season, the play that you've gotten from these freshmen, the fact that Bree Ellis comes in and she's able to tie Casey Cooper for the freshman single-season home run record with 18 her first season on campus. Prior to this year, Auburn had never had any players hit double-digit home runs in their freshman season outside of Casey Cooper. And now the Tigers have Bree Ellis. They also have Nelia Peralta, who's their freshman shortstop. And on Sunday, Jessie Blaine hit her 9th home run of the season. She's now one shy of joining that. So you want to look at highlights for this team. It has to be the freshman, how well they've played offensively. Maddie Pinta continues to be one of the top pitchers in the SEC. So many big positive takeaways from the season so far.
Talking to J.J. Jackson of Tiger Communications and also with the Auburn Sports Network doing some Auburn softball play-by-play. And as you head down to Gainesville, Auburn softball's matchup in the first round of the SEC softball tournament is Missouri. What can you tell us about that Missouri Tigers team?
It's going to be a fun matchup. 7-10 in the SEC tournament for Auburn taking on Missouri. The winner, of course, will take on the Alabama Crimson Tide. Auburn has never lost to the Missouri Tigers in the SEC tournament. Had a very similar path. You look back at that 2019 tournament, the fact that Auburn was a 10 seed that year, was able to win a couple of games, including a game over Missouri. That was really impressive. It's a Missouri team that Auburn played last season and had a really good pitching performance from Shelby Lowe this year. This Missouri team has played much better in the second half of the season than they did the first, and I'm expecting to see a really good game tomorrow afternoon between these two teams.
And J.J., just kind of break down the bracket for us a little bit. If Auburn gets past Missouri, what would be on deck after that, and what's sort of the path for this softball team to try and win an SEC tournament championship?
Yeah, look, it's going to be difficult, Jacob. I mean, the odds are certainly against Auburn to be able to get that done, to go on and win the whole thing, especially playing on Wednesday and not getting the double bye. The first four seeds in the conference get to take 2 days off, whereas pretty much everyone else outside of Texas A&M and South Carolina get just 1 day off. So if Auburn were to win against Missouri tomorrow, they would take on the 2-seed Alabama, which means you're likely taking on Montana Fouts, who is tops in the SEC with Matty Pinta, and strikeouts. Those two players look at as the best two pitchers in the league. And then still to come to win a title, you got to go through number one Arkansas, who was co-champs a season ago with the Alabama Crimson Tide. And then they won the league outright this season. So it'll be tough for Auburn to get the job done. But this is why we love the SEC tournament. This is why you love postseason in sports, because truly anything can happen. You got to get 21 outs and see what happens after that.
And, J.J., you know, you talk about it being a long shot, but as you said, it is the SEC tournament, and we know how the SEC is across all sports. There really is. It is almost anybody's game. And so what does Auburn have to do well this weekend, you know, I guess this week and into the weekend, for them to have a shot to win it all?
Yeah, I think it goes back to the offense. Look, and the pitching is what I think people would answer first and foremost when you look at a sport like softball, when you say, okay, what does a team have to do to be successful? Oftentimes you do want to look at the pitching staff first and foremost. But for Auburn, I think it's just as important to highlight the offense, given the fact that their last three outings in that Tennessee series, the offense lets you down a little bit. If you've got runs to work with, your pitchers feel more comfortable, and you feel more freedom and throw more arms to set you up for a longer run of the postseason. If it's a low-scoring game, you're going to feel more pressure to keep your pitchers in there for a game a little bit longer, and then the rest of the week gets a little complicated because of the innings and pitches that you're putting on the arms of Madigan, Shelby Lowe, or K.K. Dismuke, so however that looks like. So I think the number one thing for Auburn to be successful going into tomorrow's game and then into the Alabama game, should they win against Missouri, I want to see a quick start from this Auburn softball team. I think it's very important that at the top of the order, they can get on base and start driving in runs.
Well, J.J., we appreciate your time. I know you're on the road. Let everybody know where they can keep up with everything that you do, and then also where they can find the Auburn softball broadcast starting tomorrow.
Yeah, Jacob, I certainly appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter at @_JJ_Jackson_, and make sure you do listen to Auburn softball all week long on the local affiliate WTGZ, Tiger 95.9 FM. We'll go on the air 15 minutes prior to first pitch tomorrow. That's at 1:15 Central Time. I have the absolute pleasure of joining Britt Bowen in the broadcast booth. for the Auburn Sports Network. You can listen to us on the Auburn Tigers Athletics app or on the Tiger Communications app. So a lot of different ways to listen to Auburn softball, and I'm looking forward to the week ahead in Gainesville. And Jacob, thanks again for asking me to do this.
Yeah, no problem. We appreciate your time. Have a safe trip, and I hope it's a long trip for you as well, JJ.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
Yep. That was J.J. Jackson of Tiger Communications and also with the Auburn Sports Network for Auburn softball here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. I wanted to bring him on and just talk about some Auburn softball because we haven't talked about it a whole lot, but yet the SEC tournament starts tonight. They will play tomorrow in their first game. As he said, it's going to be a tough task for this Auburn softball team to win an SEC tournament title. Not that this team isn't good. It's just the SEC is so good that it's just a tough, it's a tall task. It's a tough ask for this Auburn softball team. They're really young and they have a lot of talent, but I don't think they are to the level of some of the other teams in the SEC just yet. In the next couple of years, I think 100% they can be one of the best teams, not just in the SEC, but in the entire country. But yet you heard JJ talk about it. This team is really, really young, but yet look how talented they already are. Look how good they already are. And I know they're the 10th seed in the SEC tournament, and you say, well, that's near the bottom. Yes, but look how good the SEC is. And are we surprised that the SEC is so good in another sport? Nope, we're not, because the SEC is the best conference in all of college sports across the board. Let's take a break. We're going to have Zach Blackerby of Auburn Daily and Locked On Auburn when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. 30 minutes into hour number one here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. Hope you're all doing well on this Tuesday, May 10th. If you're in the Auburn-Opelika area, up through Birmingham, Sylacauga, across the state of Alabama, or anywhere else in the country, hope you're doing well on this Tuesday afternoon. Big thanks to J.J. Jackson for coming on during the last segment, talking about Auburn softball, and as they get ready to take on Missouri in their first game of the SEC softball tournament tomorrow. So big thanks to J.J. Jackson there in the last segment. But now we have another guest coming on the show. It's Zach Blackerby of Auburn Daily and Locked On Auburn. Zach, happy Tuesday. Jump right into it with all of the NIL talks going on and the transfer portal stuff and tampering going on as well. You know, what is we asked you last time what your suggestions were, but with the NCAA's new ruling coming out about boosters reaching out and not allowed to reach out, what do you think that's going to do in regards to fixing the NIL stuff?
I don't think it's going to do anything. Unless they really define certain roles, I don't know how this slows folks down. Can players still reach out to one another? Can a player ask and say, hey, hypothetically, if you entered the portal, this is what's waiting for you? I think parents of players are an interesting one. So I think they've got to be really, really specific on how they do all of that. Because, look, a lot of these guys are friends with each other and work out together in the off season and, you know, played high school ball together. So there's so many different types of relationships and types of connections that cross those team lines throughout the SEC, throughout all of college football. And I don't think this is going to stop. And much like the ideas of all the rules in place currently, there's still too many loopholes, Jacob.
And I agree. And so let me ask you this as well. If they put this rule into place, how does the NCAA go back and, I guess, punish the ones that have already been doing it? Because we know that it's already been happening.
You can't. I mean, legally, like, they will get sued into oblivion if a player, especially a big player, loses his or her eligibility because of this. I mean, there would just be so much that would happen. And look, a lot of these big money folks, they're going to be ready. And by big money players, I mean the SEC and the Big 12 and the Big 10 and the ACC and the Pac-12. If the NCAA messes this up with the way that they've handled this and they just kind of threw their hands up, it's like, okay, you guys have at it. And then they step in and say, okay, well, we gave you too much freedom. You know, you guys clearly can't manage yourself, so we're going to have to step back in here. They're going to take their ball and go home. And they're going to say, sorry, NCAA, we don't need you. You need us. We don't need you. We can find another way to replicate this postseason action of these NCAA-sponsored events. So I don't think the NCAA can do anything.
No, I'm glad you bring that up. Talking to Zach Blackerby of Auburn Daily and Locked On Auburn, I'm glad you bring that point up because I've talked about that here on the show. Do you think that eventually, you know, years down the road, that at least the Power Five conferences and their schools that are affiliated are going to break away from the NCAA?
I think if the NCAA plays this poorly, absolutely. And look, we were told for forever, you know, how important the NCAA was and how, the conferences relied on it. But I think the year of COVID, when, you know, they just had 10 conference games and everybody handled it on their own, I think it kind of showed us, oh, okay, the real alliance here is the conferences. It's not the NCAA. And so I think you're going to see all of these conferences really band together, and I don't know if they're going to turn into super conferences or what. You know, the Big 12's trying to do something there, and maybe that'll kind of be the blueprint of the first step in the right direction. But college football doesn't need the NCAA. Now, what's interesting is the NCAA tournament, and, you know, we got the NCAA baseball tournament, and, you know, with softball, and, you know, we just saw gymnastics run and all that. Like, those are all NCAA-sanctioned events, so can just football secede from all of that? I don't think so. I think it's going to be an all or nothing type deal. But the NCAA, they got to be careful or they're going to lose this really easy free ride that they've had for a long, long time.
Talking to Zach Blackerby of Auburn Daily and Locked On Auburn. Look, I've talked about it a lot. There's so many different perspectives, so many different answers, and I really just don't know what the right answer is, and I don't think anybody knows at this time, but it's definitely the hot topic around the sports world right now. To talk to you about Auburn football specifically, not with the NIL stuff, just Auburn football specifically, as we are moving into summer camps, obviously moving out of spring ball, I've thought about the question, and obviously we don't know until the quarterback is solidified, but what type of offense do you think we're going to see from this Auburn football team come September 3rd?
Yeah, I think you're going to see what, you know, Brian Harsin tried to do last year, but I think the flow of the game kind of got away from Coach Bobo, and I think you're going to see a more balanced attack over the course of four quarters, not just the first quarter. And that may be through, you know, I mean, they're going to have to get better at running the football. That was an issue. The run blocking was a really, really big issue from a season ago. But I think you're going to have to be more creative in your play calling. And I don't think that means anything super sophisticated, Jacob. I think it just means, okay, if you can't run the ball, you have to find passing plays that act as an extension to your run game. And we saw Tank Bigsby be targeted in the passing game a little bit more than usual over the course of spring, whether it came in scrimmages or across A-Day or players posting things on social media with Tank going out for passes. I think those are kind of the examples of what that's going to look like. There's a lot of depth at the tight end position, so I think you're going to see those guys on the field more for blocking and heavier personnel and packages. And so you can do more with that because Auburn's got a slew of really talented and athletic tight ends. So I think you're going to see Brian Harsin be better at what he wanted to bring to Auburn, which was a physical mindset and a type of offense that makes opposing defenses prepare for everything. You don't have a clear-cut number one wide receiver. And so as a defense, you kind of got to look at everybody. And outside of John Samuel Shanker, I mean, there's a ton of different tight ends that can kind of step up and be a part of the passing game. So I think Auburn's going to want to create an offense where the defense has to, in theory, defend every blade of grass, and that's going to be really that's going to be what the goal was last year. I think they're going to be able to get closer to fulfilling that this year.
And Zach, what does the addition of DeZalen Worsham, the transfer wide receiver from Miami, how does it feed into that process that you just talked about?
I don't think it feeds into it at all this year. I think he is an idea of the future. I think he is a kid with 4 years left of eligibility, which is crazy because this is his third college offseason. But, you know, Miami had him listed as a third-year redshirt freshman, and he'll probably be listed as a redshirt sophomore when Auburn officially updates their roster. But I think that's going to be a guy that is a piece for – the future, Jacob. I mean, you look at college football 2 or 3 years ago, and you tell me, like, oh, okay, Auburn's going to get a guy who's going into his third season, but he has 4 years of eligibility left. That'd be crazy. So, I mean, it's essentially that they're getting a talented kid with some experience in a college program right out of high school. And so I think if you were to bring in a three-star guy out of high school, you're not expecting him to be a key guy right away. And I think it's the same thing with DeZalen.
Makes perfect sense. It is kind of weird to think about a guy that's been in college technically for 3 years, still has all eligibility left. But talking to Zach Blackerby of Auburn Daily and Locked On Auburn, to shift over to basketball a little bit, not specifically recruiting, but Auburn's still waiting on Julian Phillips to make his commitment. He is scheduled to commit on Thursday, I believe. What would be, I mean, how would this impact Auburn and this Auburn basketball team? Obviously, this guy's a superstar, but specifically him on this team, how would it impact Auburn if he chose the Tigers?
Well, first thing, it would finish the roster. The roster would be constructed and completed. I think Bruce is seeing him as the shooter. Early on in the process, it seemed like it was either Julian Phillips or Jani Broom. They were going to get one of those and then try to go after a shooter. And then he came in and really impressed everybody with his shot. And so Bruce Pearl's like, okay, I want both these guys. And so he was supposed to visit with K-State a few days ago. That did not happen. And so it's down to Auburn or Tennessee. I think he's going to pick Auburn on Thursday. He's already got a really tight relationship with some of the players on campus. And I think that's going to be it. He knows Johan Traor. Of course, they were both committed to LSU. And Auburn's probably going to be able to get LSU's top two guys, which is super, super fun to see. But, yeah, I think he brings I think he's going to be that three guard that Auburn needs. I don't know if he's necessarily going to start over Alan Flanagan. But I think Jacob, it's going to be fascinating to see the balance and, you know, the competition for minutes. Because somehow this team's going to be deeper than last year's team, despite losing two guys who are going to be first-round draft picks in a few weeks. It's going to be a really, really fun roster to watch.
Well, that feeds right into my next question, Zach. With so much talent on this team, if Phillips does end up picking Auburn on Thursday, how does Bruce Pearl and this coaching staff balance out the minutes to where you have your best guys on the floor with the best matchups, but yet you don't want anybody to feel left out?
Well, I think Bruce Pearl's attracting the kind of guys to play at Auburn that want to win. Sure, they want to be a part of the winning, as big of a part of the winning as they possibly can, but I think if you tell Katie Johnson or Zepp Jasper or Chris Moore or Jalen Williams, like, hey, you're going to win an SEC championship, but you're only going to play 12 minutes a game instead of 19 or 20, and I think they're going to take the championship. And, you know, he's done such a good job of getting folks to buy in. It took him 4 or 5 years to get to that point, but he's got folks that want to come in and play defense. And when you're on the floor, you better play your butt off on both sides of it, or you're going to lose a minute or two a game. And that's a big deal. So I think it just goes in line of what he did last year. And heck, I think there's going to be more minutes that are up for grabs because, you know, Jabari, whoever starts at the four is probably not getting as many minutes as Jabari did. It's probably going to be Jalen Williams. And then you're going to have Jani Broom coming off behind him, I think. I don't know, man. It's going to be fun. Bruce Pearl's really, really been able to address and handle that question consistently over the last 2 or 3 seasons when we've asked these questions. And then 5 or 6 weeks into the season, it's like, okay, all right, he's figured out the rotation.
Exactly. And look, I'm glad it's not me having to do it because I wouldn't know where to begin. I wouldn't know how to split up the minutes. I'd want to play every single person, but obviously you can't do that. Zach, we appreciate your time. As always, let everybody know where they can keep up with you and all of your work that you do.
Yeah, auburndaily.com. That is Sports Illustrated's Auburn coverage. I'm fortunate enough to head that up with a group of guys. So that's going to be where you can get all of our written work. And then Locked on Auburn is your daily Auburn podcast. Drops every morning at 7 a.m. on YouTube, even earlier than that when on podcast form. So just search Locked on Auburn wherever you consume media, and we'll be there.
Well, Zach, we appreciate your time as always, man. We'll talk to you next week. I appreciate it.
Hey, sounds good, Jacob.
That was Zach Blackerby of Auburn Daily and Locked on Auburn in his usual 2:30 spot here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We appreciate him and J.J. Jackson coming on during the last segment as well. It's been a very busy hour number one, but it's been a fantastic hour number one as well. Lots of good stuff we've talked about. A lot of interesting topics as well. Let's head to our final break of hour number one. We'll be right back and wrap up hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. Yes, I am here. I know it has not been a lot of me here in hour number one, but I am here. I promise I'm here. Big thank you to J.J. Jackson and Zach Blackerby for both coming on here in hour number one on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. If you missed any of their interviews, it was J.J. Jackson first and then Zach Blackerby second. If you missed any of those interviews, just search for On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Great interviews with both of them with J.J. We talked about Auburn softball as he heads down to Gainesville, Florida for the SEC softball tournament. And then with Zach Blackerby, we talked about the NIL stuff some more. We talked about the new rule that the NCAA is trying to implement but probably will not be able to do so. We talked about Auburn football and sort of what to expect from the offense this season, and then also Auburn basketball as Bruce Pearl and the Tigers await Julian Phillips and his commitment, which will be on Thursday. It's down to Auburn and Tennessee. So if you missed either one of those interviews, make sure you go and find the podcast. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. We've got a few more minutes before we head to the final break here in hour number one before we come back at 3 o'clock for hour number two. Auburn baseball tonight hits the road. They are on their way to Troy to take on the Trojans in a midweek matchup against the Troy Trojans tonight, of course, coming off the series loss against Arkansas. They lost Friday, won Saturday, and lost on Sunday. But they now have a midweek game this week against the Troy Trojans. That is tonight down in Troy, Alabama. And that game, trying to get the game time for you real quick, get it pulled up. It is at 6 o'clock tonight. And look, Auburn, it's another midweek game. This is a game where you're supposed to win. Yeah, it's on the road, but you just take the bus. You know, you're just hitting the road a little bit. You go and you try to get this win this week before you come back home against Alabama this weekend for your final FCC home series against the Crimson Tide, a team that has been, just struggling over the past couple of weeks, the Alabama team has. And Troy, in their last matchup as well, they got rocked pretty hard against their last opponent. So you look for Auburn to get some guys in that, you know, maybe don't play as much. You're not going to obviously play many of your weekend pitchers or bullpen, but this is a game where just stay healthy. Really, just stay healthy. Get the win. Don't really, you know, you have to exert yourself too much to win this game. Don't stress it too much either. And then come home and get ready for a series against Alabama where that's a series Auburn should win for sure. They definitely should win against Alabama. You're almost thinking a sweep against Alabama this weekend. I know it's hard to think that in the SEC because, look, it's hard to sweep a team in this league. Just look across. I mean, it's hard to do so. But Alabama got swept by South Carolina last weekend, and Auburn beat South Carolina. So you would like to think that Auburn could do the same on their home field against Alabama. But first, you got to beat Troy tonight. Go and play the Troy Trojans. Get a win. Don't get hurt. Stay healthy. And just try to pick up the win. But when it comes to your RPI rankings, this is not a game you can lose. You do not want to lose this game if you're Auburn. So just go and win it, right? Just go and win the game. Don't stress it too much. You're the better team, right? You're the better team. So just go win the game against Troy. Prepare for Alabama coming up this weekend. It's been a great hour, number one. Second hour is going to be wide open. So if you want to call in, get involved, be a part of the show, I would love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. And look, we've talked about a lot here in hour number one. We talked about the NCAA putting in or implementing, really, you can't even say implement. It was a rule that was already in place. They just kind of reestablished it and kind of just like a harder slap on the wrist that said, hey, this is still a rule, where they're trying to cut down on boosters reaching out to high school recruits and transfer portal recruits as well. They're trying to cut down on boosters reaching out to them to pay them money to come play for a certain school, but I just don't see how that's going to work. We talked to Zach Blackerby of Auburn Daily and Locked On Auburn about that, and he agreed. He said, I just don't know how it's going to work. And then, also, I asked him the question, well, how do you go back and punish the ones that have already been doing it? And he said, I don't think you can. And I think he's 100% right. I think he's 100% right, because obviously these are things that have already been taking place. They've already been going on. But yet, you can't go back in time and punish them for that, because that wasn't the case, right? So I think the NCAA, I think they are realizing that they screwed up. I hope that's what they're realizing, because they did. They dropped the ball. We've talked about it, right? They dropped the ball. They messed up on just letting the NIL just go and just letting it do its thing. And now it is getting out of control. It is so far out of control. I've said it and I'll say it again. I think it's so far gone. I don't think you can bring it back. I don't think you're going to get it back, because how can you? How can you say, well, I know you've done this for this amount of time, but actually you can't do that anymore. That's not how that works. That's not how it works. It's so far out of control. I think it's just going to have to run its course. We'll see how it goes. Hour number one, officially in the books. Hour number two coming up. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line, live on ESPN. 106.7 in Auburn and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on FoxSports983.com and ESPNAU.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. Hour number one officially in the books. You know what that means. Hour number two officially underway here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. Happy Tuesday to everybody. Hope you're all doing well. Beautiful day here in the Auburn Opelika area. Sun is shining, no clouds in the sky. And again, just beautiful weather here again in the Auburn Opelika area. Hope you're all doing well. If you're still here from hour number one, I appreciate you. If you're just now tuning in, I appreciate you as well here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. If you missed any of hour number one, be sure to go find the podcast. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. It was a busy hour number one. We had J.J. Jackson of Tiger Communications and also with the Auburn Sports Network for the softball broadcast. We had him on to talk about Auburn softball and what to expect from them in the SEC softball tournament this week down in Gainesville, Florida. He was actually driving to Gainesville when we talked to him, so he was on the way to Gainesville for the SEC softball tournament. So we had him on, so we appreciate him and his time to come on and talk about Auburn softball. Also had Zach Blackerby of Auburn Daily and Locked On Auburn. He was on as well to discuss some of the new NIL rules that are coming out from the NCAA. We also talked to him about what to expect from the Auburn offense, the football offense coming up this fall, and also what to expect from Julian Phillips if he does end up committing to Auburn on Thursday. So two great interviews that filled up hour number one. So if you missed any of them or all of it, make sure you go and find the podcast. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. The phone lines are open for all of hour number two, and I would love to hear from you, the listener. You could call in and give me your thoughts, opinions, questions, concerns about anything going on in the sports world, anything we talked about in hour number one, anything we talk about here in hour number two. I would love to hear from you. Give me a call, 334-321-1390, or toll free at 888-382-7502. That'll put you through to me. And we'll get your name and we'll get you on the air. We'd love to talk to you. I would love to hear from you and hear what you have to say about anything on your mind in the sports world. That number again, 334-321-1390, or toll free at 888-382-7502. Let's start hour number two like we always do with Making Headlines.
Making Headlines.
So, making headlines here on Tuesday, May 10th, 2022. It's crazy to think we're already 10 days into May. Time flies, I'm telling you what. Tuesday, May 10th, 2022. Let's run through some of our headlines for today. Auburn baseball on the road at Troy tonight for a midweek game outside of the SEC. They'll take on the Trojans tonight in Troy. Another midweek game outside of conference play, coming off the loss against the Arkansas Razorbacks in that series at home last weekend, and also preparing for the Alabama Crimson Tide at home this weekend, their final SEC home series. Auburn on the road at Troy tonight. Should be, you know, it should be a win for Auburn, but again, it is baseball, so these games do happen. This Auburn team lost to JSU, Jacksonville State, a while back during the season, so you know, these games happen where, you know, you can lose a midweek. Last week, Arkansas lost their midweek game. So it happens. This should be a game where Auburn wins. It should be a game where Auburn wins fairly easily, where they don't have to stress it too much. They don't have to use too many guys to do so. I look for that to be the case tonight for Auburn baseball as they travel to take on the Troy Trojans on the road in a midweek game before, again, coming home and preparing for the Alabama Crimson Tide in a big SEC matchup at Plainsman Park this weekend. So Auburn baseball on the road at Troy tonight. Moving on with making headlines, coming out of the NFL, Tom Brady, of course, he retired, and then he went home and he said, well, I don't think so. I think I want to keep playing football. So he came out of retirement. It didn't take him too long. He retired, said, I don't think so, and then came back out of retirement. He will now be playing again. But he has also signed another deal. He signed a deal with Fox Sports today to be an analyst for Fox Sports whenever he is done with his football career. So whenever he's done, whenever he decides he truly is done playing football, he signed a 10-year, $375 million contract with Fox Sports to be a football analyst for them for 10 years during NFL games and broadcasts. That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable to me. A fantastic move by Fox and Tom Brady both. I mean, obviously, he knows more than anybody when it comes to the game of the NFL football, right? He knows what he's talking about. Look what Tony Romo has done with CBS. A lot of people say he's annoying. Yeah, I get that. People say that. A lot of people don't like him. And whether you like him or not, Tony Romo knows his football. He knows exactly what he's talking about. Every single time he gets on the air, he knows exactly what he's talking about. When he starts predicting plays before they happen, yeah, he knows what he's talking about. And you think he is good, and you think he knows what he's talking about? Wait until they put Tom Brady and give him a headset to put on, and he starts breaking down offenses and defenses it's going to be unbelievable to listen to Tom Brady with a headset on to talk about football and break down the game, probably to another level that we've been able to hear on the air. So really excited to see how that turns out. The man is worth so much money in his football career and his all of his endorsements and his own brand and everything like that. But now he's going to make $375 million from Fox Sports to be an analyst for them. I don't know if he's going to be like a color commentator or if he's going to be on like one of their post-game or pre-game shows, halftime shows. I'm not sure what he's going to do. I would love to see him as a color commentator because that's what Tony Romo does, and I really enjoy listening to him and him break down the game. That's what I want to see Tom Brady do, be a color commentator paired up with a play-by-play. That would be really, really cool. And imagine getting that opportunity to be a play-by-play announcer and you get to work with Tom Brady. How cool would that be? My dream for sure. Obviously, it would be my dream. And so how cool would that be? But 10 years, $375 million. And look, Fox had some money to throw around because they just lost their best NFL crew. They lost Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. They're gone. They went to ESPN. So now Fox Sports was looking for somebody. They had to get somebody to keep people watching their games, not just for the game themselves, but for the broadcasters and the personalities. You've got to have them because obviously they matter. Look how much money people are getting paid to do that. And Fox Sports realized, okay, we've got to go find somebody that can make up for losing those two. So they signed Tom Brady. So whenever he's done playing football, again, whenever he decides he is done and he will actually hang up his football career for good, not just for a couple of weeks, when he decides that he's actually done for good, he's got a 10-year contract to be an NFL analyst for Fox Sports. How cool is that, man? That's so cool. And I'm excited to see what they do with that. I'm excited to see how long it's going to take for that to actually take place because, again, he's got to be done playing football. And once that happens, he'll become an analyst. He'll be on there for 10 years. And, again, he's just getting paid even more. He's making more and more money. Not that he really needs it because he's got probably more than he knows what to do with. But good for him, man. Go get that money. Go talk about football because he knows it better than most. And I think Fox did a fantastic job. Some people were talking about and asking, did Fox pay too much money? I don't think so. I mean, look, they had the money to give, obviously. They needed somebody to replace Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. They got their guy. They got Tom Brady. Not sure if he's going to be on a broadcast. Not sure if he's going to be on post-game, halftime, and pregame shows. I'm not sure how they're going to use him exactly, but they needed somebody, and look, they needed somebody, and they found him. They got the best quarterback, the best NFL player to ever play the game, the greatest of all time, to be on their crew. So good for Fox Sports. They did what they needed to do, and Tom Brady signs a $10 million deal with Fox Sports to be an NFL analyst for $375 million. Pocket change, right? Pocket change for everybody here listening, I'm sure. Moving on with making headlines here on Tuesday, May 10th, NBA playoffs back underway. Of course, hey, they had a couple of days off, but now they have continued back on over the weekend. And last night had a couple of games, one from the East, one from the West. The Boston Celtics visiting the Milwaukee Bucks in Game 4. It was 2-1 Milwaukee in Game 4. They had a really good chance to go up 3-1 in this series, and they weren't able to do so. The Celtics tie up the series, even up the series, if you will. They get the 116-108 victory over the Bucks, and Al Horford put the team on his back and just exploded last night for the Celtics. Look, Al Horford's a good player. He's a role player. He knows his role, and he plays it very well. But last night, he was on another level. He had a career high with 30 points. He shot 11 from 14 from the field, 5 of 7 from downtown, had 8 rebounds, 3 assists, just 1 turnover, and also had a block. He played 41 minutes. That's tied with Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart for the Celtics. He just became an animal last night. Al Horford does not go off that much very often. So he was the talk of the town last night. Jason Tatum had 30 points as well. He shot 11 of 24. So he missed 10 more shots than Al Horford, still had the same amount of points. 3 of 10 from downtown, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 turnovers for Jason Tatum. And look, this Celtics team, they're gritty, they fight hard, they play good defense, and they're good enough offensively to where they've evened up this series back at 2. And it's going back to Boston for Game 5 because the Celtics are the 2 seed, Bucks are the 3 seed. So going back to Boston for Game 5, tied up at 2, you look for the Celtics to to take a 3-2 series lead. We've got some big Game 5s coming up in the NBA playoffs. We've got 2 Game 5s tonight. We'll talk about those in just a second. The other game last night in the West, the Memphis Grizzlies, the 2 seed, taking on the 3 seeded Golden State Warriors. This was a 2-1 series lead for Golden State going into Game 4 last night in Golden State, and they win a barn burner, 101-98, down to the wire the entire way. This has been a fantastic series. The entire series has been fantastic, and Ja Morant has really had to put this Memphis team on his back. He did everything he could, but last night he did get hurt in the game, and look, he just hasn't been... You know, he got hurt and he had some nasty stuff in Game 3, I think. There was a nasty play with his knees. So, and you look at the stats, I don't even think he played last night. He didn't. He didn't play because he got hurt in the previous game. And so Golden State took advantage, right? They took advantage. They win Game 4, 101-98. I forgot that Ja Morant didn't even play last night because he was hurt in the previous game. And you had Jaren Jackson Jr., who had 21 points. And that was the leading scorer for this Memphis team. And without Ja Morant, I mean, they're not to that level, I don't think. And when you're having to go up against the Warriors with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Jordan Poole, I mean, Steph Curry had 32 points last night. I mean, what are you supposed to do against that lineup when you don't have Ja Morant? Golden State wins 101-98. Game 5 will be back in Memphis. I'm not sure what Ja Morant's status is. I don't know if that's been released. If it has, then I just missed it and I haven't seen it yet. But it's a 3-1 series lead for Golden State in the second round against a Memphis team without Ja Morant as of right now. So not looking too good for Memphis, but you never know. And then tonight, there are 2 big Game 5s in the NBA playoffs tonight. The 1-seeded Miami Heat hosting the 4th-seeded Philadelphia 76ers after the series has been tied at 2 apiece. Game 5 in Miami tonight, huge, huge game. Obviously, Game 6 will be in Philadelphia. And look, you're looking to see who's going to show up for this team when it comes to Philadelphia. Is it going to be James Harden again like it was in Game 4? Is it going to be... You know, is it going to be Tobias Harris? Who's it going to be for this Philadelphia team that steps up? And can it be Joel Embiid? Is he going to be healthy enough to keep going and do what he needs to do to carry this 76ers team? You look in their last game, James Harden had 31, Embiid had 24. So, big Game 5 tonight in Miami. Winner will take a 3-2 series lead to Philadelphia. That's at 6:30 on TNT. And then the other big Game 5 tonight, the 1-seeded Phoenix Suns hosting the 4-seeded Dallas Mavericks, Game 5 in Phoenix tonight. This series is also tied at 2 apiece. I'm shocked. I'm really surprised that Dallas has been able to hold on this long in this series because I think Phoenix is the better team. But Dallas has done what they've had to do, and they're in this series. It's 2-2. If they pull off an upset tonight, they were down 0-2 as well. They lost Game 1 and 2 on the road in Phoenix. They came home and won Games 3 and 4. Will the trend continue? Will they lose tonight at Phoenix? We're going to find out. But if you look in their last game, Dallas, they spread the love around a little bit. Luka had 26. You had Dorian Finney-Smith with 24. Jalen Brunson with 18. You have Davis Bertans with 12. Another guy with 11, another guy with 10. Like, lots of guys contributed, and it wasn't just Luka having to go off for 50 points. That's how this Dallas team is going to have to do it. They just can't rely on Luka to drop 40 or 50 points and expect to win. Other guys are going to have to chip in, and so far they've done so. And I think also, defensively, how do you stop Chris Paul? How do you stop guys on this team that obviously have carried them so far through the year? And when you look at it, again, look at the last game. Devin Booker had 35 points. He's going to do his thing. How do you stop that? How do you stop Jay Crowder? How do you stop DeAndre Ayton? How do you stop Mikal Bridges? How do you stop those guys? But Dallas has done so in the last two games. Can they do that on the road tonight in Game 5? That series is tied at 2 apiece. That'll be on at 9 o'clock on TNT following the 76ers and the Miami Heat. One more making headline before we head to our first break of hour number two. Of course, we talked about it in hour number one. I want to hear your thoughts on it as well. The NCAA Board of Directors coming out and updating the rule about NIL to where boosters are not allowed to reach out and pay money to athletes to come to a school. They can obviously pay them once they are there and sign deals with them, but the NCAA trying to reach out and prevent boosters from talking to high school recruits and transfer portal recruits and basically convince them to come to a certain school with money. The NCAA is trying to fix it, I guess. I guess they're trying to, but I just don't see how they're going to be able to stop it. And it's such a large scale. There's so much going on, and there's so much behind-the-scenes work that, look, the NCAA is not going to be able to stop it, right? They're not going to be able to stop it. And, again, it's too little too late, in my opinion. It really is. Let's take our first break here of hour number one. We're going to come back and discuss this some more. If you want to call in and give your opinion about the NIL stuff and give your opinion about the NCAA and what they're trying to do to fix this, I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Give me a call. We'll put you on the air. Let's take our first break of hour number two. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. Rolling on here in hour number two on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. Hope you're all doing well on this Tuesday afternoon. If you want to call in, be a part of the show, talk to me, ask me a question, give me your two cents on anything going on in the sports world, please do so. I'd love to hear from you, and you can call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Those numbers again, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Call in about anything we've talked about today. Call in about anything else on your mind in the sports world. Again, I'd love to hear from you. So please do so. Call in. Be a part of the show. Continuing on with the NIL conversation and the NCAA Board of Directors coming out today, I guess yesterday technically, coming out and saying, you know, trying to reestablish the rule of boosters not being allowed to reach out to recruits, reach out to transfer portal players, and pay them before they get to school. I think it's a good sign. I mean, it's a good, you know, gesture from the NCAA, the NCAA, to try and help fix some of the problems with the NIL situation and the transfer portal. Because, look, both of those things, they just intertwine at this point. They work together. Because now, you know, when the transfer portal was being created and, you know, being used, it was used for athletes, you know how this goes. It was used for athletes to find a new situation, find a new program, find a new coach that's it, you know, if they weren't happy with the one they were at, they could use it and go somewhere else. Now, they're going to use the transfer portal because, well, I'm not making any money here. But this school says I can come here and make $100,000 in NIL deals. Why wouldn't I want to go there, right? So the NIL and transfer portal are intertwined. They work together, not in such a good way, in my opinion, but that's just the name of the game now. That's just how it goes. And look, you've got to be able to control that. And I don't know if it can be done at this point. The NCAA is not the answer. They are not going to be able to fix it anymore. And they have proven that by how it has already played out. I mean, look at it. We've talked about it, right? Look at it and look how out of control it already is. They don't know what the answer is. I don't think I know what the answer is. We all have our different suggestions. We all have our different opinions about what we would do and what we would change about the NIL. And again, what's the right answer? I just don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. There's got to be some rules in place. You can't just have a free-for-all. You can't just say, here you go. Everybody just go and do whatever you want to do. Athletes, go make your money. Companies, go pay however much you want to pay and do it however you want. That can't be it. But right now, that's what's going on. That is what is happening. It is a free-for-all in the wild, wild west. And whatever company and whatever player want to do, they're doing it. If a company wants to reach out to a player and offer them $1 million to go play for a school, it's happening. If a player wants to make $1 million somewhere, it's happening, right? There's no limitations. There's no restrictions. There's really not a whole lot of rules. And it literally is a free-for-all. And it's turning into NFL free agency. But you know what NFL free agency has? Rules. They have limitations as well. To control it, you can't reach out to a guy if he's on the roster. You can't reach out to a coach if he's still the coach. And that goes for assistants as well. Everything has to have rules and regulations so it doesn't get out of control. And the NCAA, it's a little too late, but they're finally realizing that. They're finally realizing that. And so I ask you, what would you fix? What would you change? How would you adjust the current NIL transfer portal situation? Either the NIL or the transfer portal, if you don't agree with it either. If you think that's also a free-for-all. How would you change it? How would you fix it? I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Again, 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. There's a million different ways to go at it. There's a million different ways to start trying to fix it. I just don't think the NCAA is going to be able to fix it in time before it gets so far out of control that the NCAA is not in charge anymore. I've talked about it. Zach Blackerby talked about it in hour number one. I don't think the NCAA is able to handle it anymore because I just don't think they can. I don't think they can do it. They've let it go so far. And if they try to go back, if they try to reel it in, these schools and these conferences are going to say, no, absolutely not. Bye. We don't need you anymore. We don't need the NCAA anymore. We're going to ditch you. We're going to do our own thing. That's coming. They don't need the NCAA to be their governing body. They'll find a way to have somebody else be their governing body. They may be their own governing body by the time this thing is all said and done. And why wouldn't they? I wouldn't blame them. And I think it's coming. However long it's going to be, I'm not sure. But that day is coming. I've talked about it, and I'm going to say it again. At least the Power 5 schools and the Power 5 conferences are going to ditch the NCAA. They're going to do it. One way or another, the NCAA will not have all of these big-time schools and conferences in years to come. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll have 30 more minutes left in the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. 30 more minutes left here in hour number two on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Hope you're all doing well on this Tuesday, May 10th, 2022. It's been a great show. If you missed any of it, make sure you go and search On the Line and find the podcast wherever you get your podcast. It'll be uploaded immediately following today's show. So make sure you go and find that. You can find today's show and any other show Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. If you want to call in, be a part of the show. I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Anything on your mind in the sports world, anything I've talked about here on the show today, you can call in and be a part of the program. Give your thoughts and your opinions about, again, anything we've talked about, anything I've talked about or my guests have talked about, or anything else that's on your mind in the sports world. I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. So we had Zach Blackerby of Auburn Daily and Locked On Auburn back in hour number one, and I asked him the question, what type of offense should we expect to see, or what does he expect to see for Auburn football coming up in the fall? And he had talked about trying to think the best way to put this, he had talked about expecting to see Auburn and Brian Harsin use the offense they tried to use last year, which was more of a balanced attack. And I think that's the way to go. We know what Brian Harsin is. We know what this coaching staff is. They all have a similar mindset. They're all football guys. And Brian Harsin has the pro-style offense when it comes to his offenses. He wants to be able to throw the football, but he also wants to be able to run the football. I don't think he's going to be super heavy on one or the other. I don't think we're going to see Tank Bigsby run the ball 40 times a game, but I also don't think we're going to see a quarterback throw it 40 or 50 times a game. I think you are going to see a balanced attack, and I also think that you're going to see a lot of guys being used in a lot of different ways. Zach talked about that as well. Auburn has some young wide receivers who are still trying to be developed, but Auburn has some really, really good tight ends in the room. Plus, Auburn has some good running backs that not just can run the football, but catch the football, come out of the backfield, catch the ball, block, do a lot of different things. So Auburn doesn't have to be one or two dimensional. Auburn can be and do so many different things. And Zach made a really good point near the end of the call. He said, I think Auburn's going to have the type of offense where the defense has to cover every blade of grass. And I like that. I like how that was put, because that makes sense. And that's what works. That's what you should want to do if you're the Auburn offense. You don't want to be so one-dimensional that the defense knows what's coming. Obviously, right? That makes sense. You don't want to be that type of offense. And I think to a point last year, Auburn got to be that way. I think Auburn got to be to the point where people knew what was coming. And look, you're not going to be successful that way. You're just not. You're not going to be successful if the defense knows what's coming. And I think Auburn will be different this year. I do. I think it'll change. I think Auburn's going to have enough talent to be able to do some different things this year. And, you know, the play calling has got to be part of it, but you don't have to have 500 different plays, and you don't have to have a bunch of flickery and flipping and you know, doing all kinds of crazy stuff to confuse the defense. Just run different things and just make little changes here and there to where you truly keep the defense on their toes. You truly keep them on their heels. And that's all you got to do. If you can do those things, you can win football games and you can be a successful offense, right? And so I want to ask you the question, what do you want to see from the Auburn football offense come the fall? What players do you want to see have a big role in the offense? What type of offense do you think we're going to see? What type of offense do you want to see? Give me a call, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Those numbers again, 334-321-1390. Or toll free at 888-382-7502. Look, I think that question or those questions, they do hinge on the big question. Who's going to be the quarterback, right? All of that hinges on that question alone. Who is going to be the quarterback? And I just, you know, obviously we don't know yet. 100% we don't know. I think we know who's in the running, and I think we know who the top two are, but the type of offense Auburn runs really does depend on who the quarterback is. It does. It depends on who the quarterback is because, in my opinion, I think it's Zach Calzada and Robbie Ashford. I think those are the two guys fighting for the job right now. But when you look at them, they are different quarterbacks. Zach Calzada is more your stand-in-the-pocket throw, can make a play with his legs if he needs to. Ashford is more of the runner than Zach Calzada. He can still throw the football. He's developing that part, but Ashford is going to be more of a runner than Zach Calzada. And so, depending on who is playing quarterback, depends on the type of offense we're going to see. Are you going to see Zach Calzada, who stands in the pocket, steps up, and delivers a ball on time, on target, on the numbers? Or are you going to have Robbie Ashford, who can stand in and make a throw when needed, but also can scramble out and pick up a first down with his legs? What type of offense are we going to see? And on top of that, how many times is Tank going to run the football? How many times are backup running backs going to run the football? Is Tank going to be a first down back? Or is he going to be a third down back? Or is Auburn going to be a pass first, run second type of team? A run first, pass second type of team? What do we expect? All of those are legitimate questions. I think Auburn, right now, I think you have to be a run first team. I think you have to be a run first team because you know what you have in the running back room. You have Tank Bigsby, one of the best running backs in all of college football, in your room. You have him at your command. You've got him. I think you have to be able to use him. But you don't want to use him so much that he gets hurt, he gets tired, gets beat up, gets predictable. That's what you want to avoid. You have to avoid those things. And so you have to be able to run him enough to where he's effective and efficient. That goes to the offensive line as well. You have to be able to run him enough to where he's actually effective and picking up valuable yards. But then you also want to run him enough to where when you step back and throw, the defense doesn't know what's coming. And you can catch him sleeping a little bit. There's a lot of balance here. And I think that's what Auburn's going to have to be. You know, there were rumors coming out a while back that Auburn was going to be a super run-heavy team. I talked about how that's a very bad idea. Auburn doesn't need to be run heavy. They need to be balanced. They have to be balanced. Some teams can be run heavy. Some teams can be pass heavy because that's what some teams have to do. Auburn is not going to be that this year. Auburn has to be balanced, I think. If Auburn's not balanced, then Auburn's not going to win football games. But at the same time, your running back room has to be good enough. Your quarterback has to be good enough. Your offensive line has to be good enough. The receivers, the tight ends, everybody has to be good enough and do their job and do their job well for all of that to work. The entire offense has to do their job for that to work. Because it's not just on the quarterback. It's not just on the running backs. The line's got to be good. Receivers got to get open and catch the football. Tight ends have to be effective when called upon. All of those things are true. All of those things are true. And so I want to see a balanced offense. I want to see Tank get the ball when Tank is supposed to get the ball. When it's time for Tank Bigsby to pick up 2 yards, give him the football at the Penn State game. That's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Give Tank the football when it's time to give the guy whose first name is Tank the football. But at the same time, you can't give it to him 40 times a game. He's not going to make it through the SEC if he does that. When it's time to pick up 7 or 8 yards on a 3rd and long, I want the quarterback to be able to step in. I want the offensive line to be able to hold up enough. And I want the quarterback to step in and deliver a pass over the middle to an open wide receiver who catches it with 2 hands and Auburn picks up the first down. Is that too much to ask? Is that too much to ask? I don't think so. But those are not the things that we've seen. We haven't been seeing that. But I think we will. I think we're going to see more of that this year. You're going to see some trickery here and there. You're going to see some different types of plays of what we've seen in the past. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And you know what? The first 2 games of the year that are those quote-unquote cupcake games, those are very important. Those are very important games for Auburn to get their stuff figured out. Get out the kinks, get out the nicks, get out all of the mistakes, because week three, you've got Penn State coming to town, and you've got to be ready. You've got to be prepared. You've got to be ready. But those first two games, those non-conference games, those quote-unquote cupcakes that Auburn will win, you've got to be able to get your stuff together and get your offense right, because the defensive side of the football, I think, is going to be just fine. I think defense is going to be fine. Can Auburn score? Can Auburn score? Can they move the football? That's a big thing, too. You're not going to score on every drive, but can you avoid three and outs? Can you avoid putting your defense on the field for 75% of the game? Can you avoid, again, three and outs? Can you avoid turning the football over? Those are things you want to see from Auburn. Can Auburn just pick up some first downs? Can Auburn throw the football? Can Auburn catch the football? Can Auburn run the football? All of these are questions we all are worrying about and concerned about, because it's stuff that has not necessarily been happening. Auburn was in some games last year that if they would have done some of those things correctly, they would have won. They would have won the Penn State game, right? They would have won the Alabama game. They would have. Now, I know TJ Finley was the quarterback, and I know there was some stuff going on, but do a few more things right and you win those football games. And so I think those types of games are the ones that Auburn has to win this year for, A, for Brian Harsin to keep his job, B, for this football program to stay afloat. You know what I'm saying? That is what is happening, and that is what it takes for this Auburn football team to be successful. It's going to be on the offense. It's on the offense this year. Call in. Tell me what you think about Auburn's offense as the summer is approaching. What do you expect from this Auburn football offense? Do you think it's all on the offense? Are you worried about the defense too? What do you expect to see from Tank Bigsby? And who do you think is going to be QB1 come September? Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. That number again, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Again, I'm not really worried about the defense. Yeah, there's some holes here and there, but the defense, like last year, near the end of the year, kept this team in ball games. They kept this team in the game. The offense just couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't do anything, and you saw how it went down. Auburn lost their last five games because of it. I know the Mississippi State game, you blew that one. That's on the defense. But the other games Auburn was in, especially their last two, the Iron Bowl and the Houston Bowl game, the defense kept this team in it. The offense just could never get it going. So this year, I think you're going to see something different. Whether it's Robbie Ashford, whether it's Zach Calzada, who's at QB1, I'm telling you, TJ Finley's not going to be your starter. I can go ahead and tell you. I don't know anything, but I'm going to make a really, really strong prediction that he's not going to be quarterback one. He's not going to be your starter come September. So can Robbie Ashford or Zach Calzada be the man that Auburn needs at quarterback? Can Brian Harsin, you know, develop an offense and draw up an offense that is successful in the SEC? We're going to find out. We're going to find out really, really soon, because Auburn's schedule is not easy. It's the hardest in the country for a reason. Auburn plays the best of the best year in, year out. They play the best defenses year in and year out. Let's see if Auburn can get it done when it comes down to a lot of people's jobs, when it comes down to the football program. And we're going to find out real soon, I can tell you that. Let's take our final break here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. Wrapping up the Tuesday edition, and yeah, I've got some guests to come in here and finish this segment up. What's going on, gentlemen?
Hey, Jacob, how you doing?
How's I'm doing great. I've got Drew. We've got Drew, the I guess the producer of The Drive. And then we've also got
Guess that's what they call me.
Yeah, and then we've got also Mr. Dan Peck of The Drive. Welcome in, man.
Hey, it's great. It's great to be here a couple of minutes early. We're taking it's picture day here at Auburn Network headquarters. So we're taking some shots, and we thought we'd come in a little bit early since we were already here.
Absolutely. Getting some professional headshots done and at the recommendation of our bosses, so getting that done as well. I had like 6 or 7 pictures done today, man. Way too many for me.
Don't let us ruin the last segment of your show, though. What were you going to talk about had we not come and sat down?
Well, it's final take. So I always, at the end of the show, whatever's going on, I always have a final take. And you got to, you know, it doesn't have to be a super hot take. It's just a final take on stuff we've talked about. So we've talked about the NCAA coming out, and, you know, they came out with their trying to get ahead of boosters reaching out to recruits and trying to, you know, limit that. I don't think it's going to work. That's sort of my final take is the NCAA is trying to get out ahead of it. They're trying to stop it, but it's too far gone, in my opinion. I don't think they've let it go too far, and they're not going to be able to get it back.
Divorcing NIL from recruiting seems like a Herculean task for the NCAA, and I guess they can double down on the definition of boosters, and they can try and see if that works. I just wonder how those two things exist. I wonder how recruiting as we know it exists with NIL opportunities being available for players, and how does that not have a big say in where they go to school?
Exactly. So your final take, is it going to work? Is the NCAA's rules, are they going to work, or is it just too little too late?
I mean, I think they might be able to rein in like some of the huge headlines we've seen. Maybe they can use the threat of excommunication to get boosters to tone it down somewhat. It feels like, you know, I don't know how you divorce recruiting from NIL. And that's an existential crisis for the NCAA right now, because I think there are a lot of fans that are going to look at this and say, it's not tribal. It's not, it used to feel much more personal, and now if NIL is determining where people go to school, it's almost like everyone's a mercenary and they're just picking the best business opportunity. And I wonder if fans will lose the personal connection they have and ultimately tune the sport out. Like that's the crisis.
I think Drew, it's too late.
Who wins in the NBA tonight?
Who's going?
The home teams, the Suns and the
Heat, right?
The Heat and Philly.
Give me Phoenix and the Heat.
The Heat, the home teams?
Home teams taking decisive game fives, huh?
Yes.
I love 2-2 game fives.
I do too.
I mean, these are must-win games for the home teams.
Must win.
You got to watch those tonight.
Yeah, I talked about it a little bit earlier. Must win. If Philly wins and goes home for game six, I think Joel Embiid and James Harden are good enough to get it done on their home floor. Same thing with, you know, same thing with Dallas. They could pull it off too.
Oh, that's the magic of, the home team has the advantage because they play 4 games of the 7, but this is the one game. To an extent, a game 7-2, obviously, but this is a game that the top-seeded team, the Suns and the Heat, they have to win this game.
That's like almost a must-win.
Or they're going to be an underdog on the road.
Pressure's on.
In game 6 to even force a game 7. These are as high stakes as we've gotten so far in the NBA playoffs tonight.
No doubt. And did you watch the games last night? Boston beating Milwaukee to even it up on the road, and Golden State taking a 3-1 series lead over Memphis.
Didn't think Boston was going to do it the way Giannis got rolling in the third quarter, but then the Celtics found a way on the road. I mean, that's a plucky team, right? Like they
gritty.
I don't know. I mean, I just feel like, I mean, I keep counting them out. I keep thinking they're not as good as the team on the other side, and they keep finding a way to win. I wonder if they can survive the series with Milwaukee.
We're gonna find out, gentlemen. I appreciate you coming in on the final segment. That's it for the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.